Also, it was good to hear your comments on that.
Yes, well, Ted, like I said, I just didn't like this, what I saw. And I was, at that time, I was trying to make my brain more efficient, not duller.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
This may seem like an off-the-wall question, but it seems like it might be nice in the article. What thrills you in music, or about music?
Anything that's good. Now, I don't care what instrument it is, as long as it's well played, if it has meaning.
When you listen to music, are you usually analyzing it as it goes, or do you kind of shut off that part of the mind and just let the feelings take you where they will?
Ed will tell you, this ties in, Ted, with the question you asked earlier about do I visualize numbered notation or lettered notation. No, when I'm playing, I don't. When I'm listening, I analyze. I analyze what I'm listening to. And I wish I didn't do that, because a lot of times it's upsetting, because if I hear something bad, I analyze that too. And that's upsetting, you know. That's sort of double punishment. You're listening to it, now you got to analyze it too.
Have you reached a point where you can identify almost anything you hear?
Oh, I wouldn't say that, no. No.
But say from a guitarist, when you hear guitarists, basically you visualize, see those shapes.
Oh, yes. Oh, I thought orchestra. You meant like a
No, symphony. I did actually, then I brought it down after you said no.
Yeah, well, I've had my ear fooled, and that can happen to anybody, I like to think. Because what I'm getting at by that remark was that in the blockout section, the very end of the first volume, if you play some of those blockouts, yeah, I made mention of it in there, that there'll be an audio illusion, because you'll think the bass line didn't move chromatically, and it did, because something upstairs going on created an illusion, a mirage. And it made the bass line sound like it stood still, yet it moved half tones. So, in that sense, Ted, I've listened to some symphony scores and things like that, where my ear's been fooled, and I have to play it again, and then try to really test tube it, you know, and sometimes play it 3 or 4 times before you really find out what goes on, but. That doesn't happen very often, but I've been fooled, absolutely. I think that happens to everybody at some time.
That stands to reason, but I have feeling less than often. What would you advise other musicians to be attuned to when they listen? For the readers of the magazine, so to speak, I mean, so many people really don't listen intelligently, you know, and maybe...
Well, I don't think they should analyze it. I wish I didn't have to, but it's
you don't feel that helps.
It's embedded.
Maybe it helps to analyze it.
Maybe it does, but it's also tiring. Because sometimes you just like to sit back and listen to the marvelous, be bathed in the sounds and the colors that are flowing around your body.
You can't shut that off, though.
No, I haven't been able to. But you know, Ted, in all honesty, I'm afraid to try and shut it off, because I worked a long time to not to acquire it, but to nurture it, you know, to try and amplify it. And so I'm afraid if I try to, I'm afraid of losing it. I guess that's a good. And so. If I work at losing it, I know I can, you know, because, you know, mind over matter, you know, you can almost erase anything you want if you work hard enough at it, mentally. But I think I'm a little cowardly on that. I'm afraid to lose it because it sort of appeared out of the blue And then I nurtured it from there and tried to develop it and keep it going.
Do you have any favorite composers? Or is it just so overwhelming? There's so many and it's...
Oh, gee,
that's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I can believe that.
Naturally, we have some pets we like, but I like so many. I wouldn't want to offend anybody leave anybody out. But, you know, anybody's still living.
What do you listen to these days? All forms of music, or just specific types of? I mean, where do you? Let me rephrase that. In what areas does your listening taste? Do your listening taste lie? If you even have time to listen these days, you're such a busy fellow.
Well, let me see, Ted. I can give you an example. The other night, Kay and I played. We played a whole symphony. We played a symphonic album. Then we played a Basie album. And then we played a Bill Evans album. I love Bill
Evans. Bill Evans, is he something?
Oh, yeah. Marvelous harmonics.
Can you follow him? I cannot always follow what he's doing. Is that difficult for you, or is it?
Yeah. Now, I enjoy following him because of the inventiveness and the... he's so adroit. I played some of Bill Evans for Ed one night. It was, you enjoyed it, didn't you?
He's on almost a plane that's far above most musicians intellectually, I feel.
Yes, and yet it's so full of surprises, but it's so tasteful too, and it's logical after you break it down, but it's kind of.
Talk about inner voices and
full of surprises. Yeah. Now there's a man who thinks in all keys.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah.
He plays in, or at least for home key, as far as where he starts a song. It's future plans. You're going to be playing again, yes?
Yeah.
Would you say
definitely
within the next few years? Because it's not going to take you.
As soon as I finish this third volume.
Another year, maybe? Is that particular?
Well, that's safe. Yeah, I'm going to try and do it sooner than that. But there are record companies that want albums.
That's hard.
Yeah, and some concert tours. So I guess I want to get back to it. Because I've been holding those Blackwing pencils so long that after I finish this, I don't want to see a Blackwing pencil for a long time. I have some letters here, Ted, where somebody said, after you finish the book, this was a reply to the original letter that stated, I'm not going to write after I finish the third volume, I'm not going to sit down and start writing out some solos immediately. So this ties in with what you brought over here.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll be glad to do that. It's worth my time.
Yeah, but I don't mean just for the fun of it. You know.
No, either way.
Mel, I know Mel would be interested in that.
Yeah. Well,
because there are some of the mechanisms under working conditions.
Oh, yeah, I have a whole answer. So I went through the book recently. I'm almost just going to read this because it says it better than I could probably input. There was a whole chain of thought last night as I was going through.
Uh-huh.
I went through the book recently paying careful attention to your instructions instead of skimming as I had done earlier. I was astonished. I mean that. I was astonished by the long-range planning and totality of the fingering system. It seems that virtually every physical hazard in the left hand that one might face has been challenged head-on, and skipping a few other things, which are... I ended up feeling that the fingering principles themselves, just that, were in one sense the essence of the whole book. That it's been illustrated through harmonic principles, but the fingerings are I don't know, I was just struck by that. Is that...
Yeah, those are the physical mechanisms.
Does it seem like that to you?
Yes.
That is the essence?
Yes. Because they open the door release the mind to become more inventive. The dark areas that what used to be the dark areas are no longer dark anymore. They let a little light in there. And it's like we were saying earlier, as the technique goes up and the ability to produce, so do the ideas.
I suppose. just taking the simple harmonized scales, the first part of the book, each exercise has new fingering challenges from the previous one. How did you keep track of all this to think of, oh, now I've got to put this mechanism in?
That was carefully. I can read it. No, and
it's such an enormous amount of information. I mean, was it a feat of memory, or was it check and recheck, enormously tedious stuff?
All right, now, since you asked that, Ted, I'm going to go back to something I said earlier about all the writing surfaces. Ed's been in here when there have been 50, sometimes 60 sheets of music. When this is cleared off, the individual pages, this is how I kept track of them. It was a very difficult. Because when I write one page over here, I've got to go over and check what
did that fingering.
Is that redundant, or then I find a redundancy, what I thought was a redundancy. I did. Then I'd get halfway back to the destined comeback. Something made me come back. Then I found out why I did it, because I read a couple of bars further, and the reason for it being in down twice was that the first time it was done in a short form, and over here it was done in a long form to show why it was done that way, and if you did it the other way, you'd be caught with 1 foot off the ground. See, in other words, chose the wrong mechanism. See?
Your wall heater over there.
Right.
You couldn't see it.
Yeah.
All the little pieces of paper with check this and this is done. And
yeah. Most of them are over there now, Ed, but yeah. I did throw a lot of them away because they pertain to the first and second line. There's no sense of keeping them up there. So reminders.
Genetic? Do you inherit it from your dad, this organizational facilities, Rich?
Yes and no. I don't. Ted, I don't know. Who's responsible for that? But all four of us boys were born with that. Let me see. I'll have to backtrack. Six generations in the Vanoss family, there were six generations of musicians and watchmakers. All right. Now, by watchmakers, I don't mean jewelers or repair, but people that could make a watch, you know. All right. Now, that's highly involved mechanics, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
All right, now there's the mechanical side. Now the other side, where they were all musicians, professional musicians. Not that I look down my nose at amateurs, but what I meant that they were not dabblers.
Right.
You know.
I know what you're saying.
So I don't know. I don't know where it came from. I really don't. Except that Rob had it. Fred had it, Rob had it, my brother John, who was killed in a car accident, he had it. And I don't know where it came from, so it had to start someplace.
But you've had it.
But it's funny that those genes were all passed down through those, for a couple of hundred years.
I guess more than funny, huh? I mean, it's just...
In fact, it's a little scary, but... Like Rob's book on piano, The Mechanics of the Piano Keyboard. That's what his book is called. And I'll tell you, when that comes out, that's going to open the piano player's eyes, because it's so damn full of logic. And the mechanics are beautiful.
Do you do any of this?
No, hunt and peck. I'm still trying to learn to play guitar.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, and when I'm all through writing and stuff, I'm going to start on page one.
You know, I decided, Les, I have to start playing through your book as part of my training, too. I get smug and think I know that stuff, but I don't know all those fingerings, and that's...
Yeah.
That is so important.
Well, one lifetime's not long enough, but we have to sweet tooth it, and that's why I said in one section that just pick a section that fascinates you. If you're into it a little bit and it doesn't fascinate you, dump it and go to something else.
That's good. It's about like...
Because it's all related.
There are really years and years in that first volume of the work, I would think, to do it in all the keys. That's could be 5-10 years worth of work for a serious guy.
Well,
maybe not that much, but up there, it's not. Right? No? I mean, don't you don't think so?
Well, if you look at the math involved, of course it would be awfully tiresome. But the math involved is the linear arrangement of 6 or 720. Now that's the open sixth string, and you can pluck them 620 times in various combinations, so they've never been related that way before. 720 times without repeating. Okay. Now, the geometric progression takes place when that's extended to the 12 chromatic tones, just one chromatic octave. Why, now it's up into the light miles. So when you put the two together, if you spent 1 second on each one, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year, you'd sit there in one place, spending that 1 second on each combination, for 11,056 years.
Yeah, I read that last time.
Yeah. Well, so when anybody says, "How about you? Can I go through this book in a year?" Well, sure. You know, well, you can go through it faster than that if you riffle it. But
I meant just doing the exercises you have in the key, you know, in all 12 keys. It would seem.
Yeah.
That's a few years.
But all the reference, like the book is loaded with. Give this particular thing, rather than be redundant and write it out in a certain variation, I just list, just show one bar of a variation. Now put it through that, because some of those variations, even though they don't look very complicated, when you start run every, no matter how small the difference is between this mechanism and that mechanism. It's very important because one of these days you're going to paint yourself into a musical corner. I don't mean you or you, but the people. But some, yeah, it happens to everybody. Where if you don't know that mechanism or if you didn't play that variation, you're not going to get out of them. You're going to fall flat on your face. So since nothing is perfect and nobody can go through, you could spend a million years putting all three volumes through everything, all the potential that's there. That isn't the point. It's the point of the three books and the concepts are learn the concept. You can't play all the variations. You can't play all the mutations and all the permutations. Nobody lives that long. Nobody. So the whole purpose of the concepts is learn the concept. They're not that difficult to understand. Once the concept is understood, then you can pick up the ball and run with it in any direction you want. If you've got a half hour, why do it, Brad? If you've got 5 minutes, do it for 5 minutes. So, you know, it's not locked into it.
That'll be very encouraging to the people that don't have enough time. Because a lot of people have asked me questions like that.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear it from you.
Believe you start on... You start on page one and milk page one to every potential. You can't do that.
George, many knowledgeable and respected players consider you to be the greatest guitarist in the world in your field. Did you ever hope to attain the stature when you were a young man? Or did
it
just
evolve? No, I don't think I've attained it.
Well,
I don't think I've attained it.
You're bucking the opinion of a lot of good people.
I know, and everybody's entitled to their own opinion, including me.
But you weren't
no,
driven by that
as
a child.
Object.
It was just
no.
The love of music. Let's
That's right. I just wanted a place of things that satisfied me. Because even when I was a kid, Ted, I was kind of a dumb kid in a lot of ways. But I was smart enough to realize this, that I was number one in my own audience. And then later on, through an association. I didn't study with Prof. Wiley. He was a friend of the family.
What's his name, excuse me?
Professor Ralph Wiley. That's spelled
W-I-L-E?
No. W-H-I... wait a minute. I got it. I always... I'm the world's worst speller, Ted.
Old magnetone amp. Those are wonderful sounds.
W-I-L-I-E.
W-I-L-I-E.
Professor Ralph Wiley. He was professor of music at Harvard for 17 years. And a marvelous man with some marvelous observations. Now, he taught a lot of people. Fred, my oldest brother, was a student of his. And Rob studied with him for a while. I never did, but I got a lot of the rub off. Now, getting back to the number one in your own audience, Prof Wiley, one day we were sitting around having coffee, and we were just batting ideas around like this, telling lies, and he said, that's right, he said, please yourself, at least you know you're pleasing somebody. Someone, his grandmother. Please, strive to please yourself, at least you know you're pleasing someone. And he followed it up with, and in that process, be honest.
That's good, George. That is very good.
It was very good. And he was a marvelous man. This is a letter from his son. The prophet's gone.
To what do you attribute your success? That's what I think of him. That's what I think of him, but I'm just curious if there's success is a funny term. I know you might have misgivings, but trust the rest of us who think you're a success for a moment and allow for the foolishness of our ways if you think we're foolish.
Well, I don't measure success by money. But
neither do
I. I think I've been lucky in a lot of ways. I really don't know.
Okay, well, can we put in hard work? Would you say that? Is it okay? I mean, is one of the factors...
Well, I can... Wait a minute.
You said dogged before.
I can partially answer that this way. I jot down things at odd hours of the day and night, and I think I showed you these, Ed.